Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice in it. And be not only in it, but be glad in it. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. For God has given us a do-over and a new day. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the do-over. Hallelujah. And I just have a scripture this morning that we're going to start with. It is not from our word this morning, but it's a scripture that I just thought fit so well for this day, 15:1. And this is my scripture I get every morning. I get a new scripture from Bible Gateway, which is an awesome app to have when you need that Bible at church and you forgot to bring your Bible, or you're at an event and you need a Bible. Pick up that phone and you got Bible Gateway, Bible in hand at all times. And so I would just suggest, if you have opportunity, get the Bible Gateway app for your phone. And the scripture for this morning is this, Psalms 14:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. Wow. But note, the only one that says something, they say it in their heart, there is no God. We hear that. But the word of God calls them fools. I call them confused, because there is a God. And he loves us. And he gives us every opportunity to do what's right. You know, and again, this is a Psalm of David. And it says, folly of the godless, that God and God's final triumph. And we're going to just read the whole thing this morning before we get in our Deuteronomy and our other Psalms, Word and Proverb and Luke this morning. We're going to go to Psalms chapter 14. So if you get an opportunity, you have your Bibles with you, please turn to Psalms chapter 14, and then we will get into our daily devotional word this morning. And it just says this, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they are bread, and do not call on the Lord? There they are in great fear, for God is with the generation of the righteous. You shame the counsel of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion, when the Lord brings back the captivity of his people. Let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. And that is our devotional scripture for daily word and our daily devotion from Dr. Charles F. Stanley, Life Principles, Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for each day of the year. And I am coming out of the New King James Version. And as I say every day for those that are just joining this movement, when I say life lessons, life examples, life questions, those are from Dr. Stanley. And I'll say Dr. Stanley says, so that you know that's not my commentary, but Dr. Stanley's commentary. So let's get started and let us pray. Father God in heaven, we are so thankful, so grateful, and we know that we are blessed to be called sons and daughters of your of you, God. Father God, I ask, Lord God, let these words that come from my mouth be acceptable in your sight. For Lord God, you are my strength, and you are my redeemer. Father, I cannot do this without you. Please increase. Please speak through me. Remove all flesh and replace it with your spirit. Lord God, renew in me a clean heart and a righteous spirit that I may speak your word as you will have me speak it. Remove me, Lord God, and replace me in the name of Christ Jesus, my Lord and Savior, who went to the cross for my sin, who speaks to me daily, who loves me, who loves me. I can only say in his name I pray, believing and trusting, Lord God, you increasing as I decrease. Let your Holy Spirit speak through me this day that you have made, as I rejoice and am glad in it. Amen. Asking God to increase as I decrease. We want the word of God to go forth in a godly manner, but we are just vessels to be used by God. I pray that God uses me this morning, and that as we leave and go our separate ways today, that he uses you as well as we all go to work for God. We all go to work for God. Thank you so much for joining us this morning as we move forward through the word of God. On this April 1st day, we know folks like to call it April Fool's, but I'm going to do our Proverbs word first this morning. And, you know, when we talk about being foolish, this is what it says: the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. A righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. Righteousness guards him whose way is blameless, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. We don't want to be overthrown today, because there are folks that always like to go and do silly stuff because it's April Fool's Day. You know, I'm going to go out and you know, TP somebody's house. You know, I'm going to go out and throw eggs on somebody's car. April Fool's, those things are not funny. Oh, I'm going to call you and lie and say, oh, you know, this has happened to a family member, or that has happened to a family member, and then when you get all upset, and then it's like, I'm just kidding. Uh-uh. Nothing to kid about. You know, we got to get out of the world and get, you know, we have to go to work. We cannot be lazy, desiring stuff, but doing nothing to get it. And then wonder why we have nothing. Because you didn't go to work. We've got to go to work for God. And our Psalms word this morning is this: and now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. I put my hope in the Lord. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the reproach of the foolish. There's that foolish word again this morning. I was mute. I did not open my mouth because it was you who did it. Remove your plague from me. I am consumed by the blow of your hand. When you rebuke, with rebukes, you correct men for iniquity. The Lord God will rebuke us. The Lord God will punish us. The Lord God is in charge of our life. And when we put him in charge, everything else falls into place. And then it tells us this in the Word of God. With rebukes you correct men, for iniquity you make his beauty melt away like a moth. Surely every man is vapor, Selah. And a life lesson from Psalms 39:11 is surely every man is vapor. Life passes with lightning speed. We are on this earth for only a short time. So we must be diligent to live wisely and well. We may appear before God tomorrow, but let us live for him today. In other words, on this April Fool's Day, as man calls it, let's not be foolish. Let's get into our Deuteronomy words. And this morning we are coming out of Deuteronomy. Excuse me, I got a little tickle. Deuteronomy 25 through 26 verse 19. And our word for today will be coming out of Luke chapter 6 verses 1 through 26. So let's get into our Old Testament word. And again, the children of Israel are being prepared to go into the promised land. They are finally, in 40 years, are up. And they are finally being able to get into the promised land. But they can't go until they go with some instruction. Because sometimes we get so hyped up and we're ready to go. We're ready to do, I'm getting ready to do what I got to do, da-da-da-da-da. But we haven't prepared. We haven't got our instructions on how to do our assignment. You've got to have instructions. This basic instruction before leaving Earth will give you instructions if you open it, if you read it. And so that's what we do every day, Sunday through Friday. We read the Word of God on moving forward. That's what this is. This is Bible study. It's a daily word so that we read the Bible in a year. We started on January 1st with Genesis chapter 1, and we will end on December 31st, God willing, with Revelation chapter 2, verse 21. So let's get started, and it says in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 1, if there is a dispute between men and they come to court that the judges may judge them and they justify the righteous and condemn the wicked, then it shall be if the wicked man deserves to be beaten that the judge will cause him to lie down and be beaten in his presence according to his guilt with a certain number of blows. 40 blows he may give him and no more, lest he should exceed this and beat him with many blows above these, and your brother be humiliated in your sight. You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads on the grain. If brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, the widow of the dead man shall not be married to a stranger outside the family. Her husband's brother shall go into her, take her as his wife, and perform the duty of her husband's brother to her. And it shall be that the firstborn son which she bears will succeed to the name of his dead brother, that his name may not be blotted out of Israel. But if the man does not want to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate to the elders and say, my husband's brother refuses to raise up a name to his brother in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of the city shall call him and speak to him. But if he stands firm and says, I do not want to take her, then his brother's wife shall come to him in the presence of the elders, remove his sandal from his feet, spit in his face, and answer and say, so shall it be to the man who will not build up his brother's house. And his name shall be called in Israel, the house of him who has his sandal removed. The house of him who had his sandal removed. I mean, you know, because in some of the word it says you shouldn't lay with your brother's wife. But that, again, that's adultery if your brother's still living. But this is to create inheritance This is to create a family name so that a name does not die with a brother. That's, you know, so God is, this is all about progeny and making sure that someone, it does not die without someone to carry on his name. But then, you know, I always looked at this when I read it before and thought, what if she's not a nice person? What if she is something else that he don't want to lay with her? What if she's a sharp-tongued vixen? What do you say? And he's like, oh, I don't want her. I'm sorry. I cannot sleep with that woman. You know, and so she takes the sandals. But now he has a stain on his name because he chose not to follow God. And I mean, the bottom line is, this is following God's word. But let's keep it going. It says, if two men fight together and the wife of one draws near to rescue her husband from the hand of the one attacking him and puts out her hand and seizes him by the genitals, then you shall cut off her hand. Your eye shall not pity her. You shall not have in your bag differing weights, a wabby and a light. You shall not have in your house differing measures, a large and a small. You shall have a perfect, and just weight, a perfect and just measure, that your days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. For all who do such things, all who behave unrighteously, are an abomination to the Lord your God. And understanding, if you grab somebody by the genitals, and I'm talking a man, you can cut off any opportunity for procreation. And that's what God is all about. Again, is God getting folks on the earth. You got to remember in the days of Noah, everybody was destroyed. Eight folks has so far created all these people. Eight folks have created all these people. They're all related, every last one of them. In some form or fashion, they are related. Because some went different ways, some went other ways. You know, when he divided them up and they all started speaking different languages, this group became something, this group became something, this group became something. And it was all out there. But the bottom line is procreation. And so if you are out there, you know, even though you're trying to protect your husband, but you do this wicked thing, you can lose your hand in that day. You know, so something, you know, you need to just stop and think about or you do it. Now, verse 17 of chapter 25, remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you were coming out of Egypt, how he met you on the way and attacked your rear flight ranks. All the stragglers at your rear when you were tired and weary, and he did not fear God. Therefore, it shall be when the Lord your God is giving you rest all around in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess as an inheritance, that you will blot out the remembrance of the Amalek from under heaven. You shall not forget. Chapter 26. Of Deuteronomy. And it shall be when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the land which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide, and you shall go to the one who is priest in those days and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers out of your hand, and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God, and you shall answer and say before the Lord your God, my father was a Syrian, about to perish, and he went down to Egypt. and dwelt there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, populous. But the Egyptians mistreated us, afflicted us, and laid hard bondage on us. Then we cried out to the Lord God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, with great terror, with signs and wonders. He has brought us to this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which you, O Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. So you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house, you and the Levite and the stranger who is among you. When you have finished laying aside all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing, and have given it to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat within your gates and be filled, then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house and also have given them to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, according to all your commandments, which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. I have not eaten any of it when in mourning, nor have I removed any of it for an unclean use, nor given any of it for the dead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord my God and have done according to all that you have commanded me. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people Israel and the land which you have given us, just as you swore to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. This day the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes and judgments. Therefore, you shall be careful to observe them with all your heart and with all your soul. Today you have proclaimed the Lord to be your God, and that you will walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commandments, and his judgments, that you will obey his voice. Did you hear that? We got to obey the voice of God. But first, we need to learn to discern the voice of God from that of the deceiving little sneaky snake, because he will try to ease in and speak in what he considers the voice of God. And we got to learn discernment. And the one thing I can say, is it good for you? It's God. If it's not good for you, if it sets you back, it is not the voice of God. Today we must learn to discern the two voices, because the enemy will take you down a path that is not a godly path, a path that what he did with Job, went in and took everything that Job had, everything, his children, his wealth, even his health. But God will come in, and I believe in my heart, God will protect his children. You will get double for your trouble. When the enemy comes against you and says all manner of things, get you to do things that you know you would never do in your right mind, we got to continuously pray every day, Lord, let me be in my right mind to discern your voice from the voice of the enemy. But he is a sneaky, low-down, dirty snake. And he will use whatever he can to knock you off your square. Verse 18 of Deuteronomy chapter 26. Also today the Lord has proclaimed you to be his special people, just as he promised you that you should keep all his commandments and that he will set you high above all nations, which he has made in praise, in name, and in honor, and that you may be a holy people to the Lord your God, just as he has spoken. God's word is true. All we have to do is believe it. Some life lessons from chapter 20. A life lesson. You shall not have in your house differing measures, a large and a small. God is concerned about every aspect of our lives, not only our religious duties, but our civic ones as well. We are to live all of our life for his glory. And we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. And it says this: therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whether you do, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, but I'm going to go back so we can get this in context. And I'm going to go back to verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And it says this: all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord, and all its fullness. You know, and that's the truth. You know, we get all caught up in dietary this and dietary that, and you can't eat this and you can't eat that. Whatever you give to God, put it in your mouth. And it say, listen, eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invite you to dinner and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no questions for conscience sake. But if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. Conscience. I say not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? That's just like, I personally don't eat pork, but that's my personal choice. I don't do it. But I am not going to sit and vilify someone that likes to have a rib or two. I'm not going to vilify someone that likes a piece of ham or someone who loves a pork chop with the fried potatoes and biscuits and gravy. I'm not vilifying because I'm, to be honest, there are days I would love to have some pork chops with some fried potatoes and onions and biscuits because it's a happy place for me because that was what my father, my godfather, used to make every Sunday morning. Before church, we would have fried pork chops, potatoes and onions, with biscuits and gravy and grits with lots and lots of butter. Or you could have oatmeal, whichever was your choice. And that was our, we had that big breakfast before church. Or if we didn't have it before church, we would have like a brunch after church and have it at after church. And then we'd have that big breakfast lunch, I guess you call it, right after church. And then in the evening, we would just have something very light, like a salad or something. But we always had the big meal in the middle of the day. And I remember, so that's a happy place for me. But because of my own particular body makeup now, it's not healthy for me to eat that pork chop with those onions and potatoes and stuff. Okay, I'm on it right now from pork, and I'm going to stay on it until I see what I'm fasting for come to fruition. You know, because some things don't come but by fasting and prayer. And so that's what I do. I fast and I pray, and I'm fasting from pork, my choice. And so, but I'm not going to vilify anybody else. And this is what Paul says. Conscience, I say not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, all to the glory of God. Do everything you do to the glory of God. You thank God for every morsel that goes in your mouth. You thank God for every drink of water you are able to receive. Thank God for everything you have. Because sometimes, let's call it straight there, sometimes somebody don't even have any toilet paper. So you thank God for every tiny little square of toilet paper. I mean, come on now. I remember when the pandemic first started, I took a picture because nobody would ever believe me 20 years from now that there were times where not even a roll of toilet paper could be found on the shelves of the supermarket. I went to the supermarket, and there was not even one roll of toilet paper. Hoarding. Let me get all of this for myself. And I don't care what happens to my neighbor. I got mine. They need to go and find and get theirs. That was the attitude. Couldn't find paper towel. Couldn't find sanitizing wipes. Couldn't find nothing. I'm telling you, it was a mess. A total mess. Because folks got selfish. But this is what Paul said, give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greek or to the church of God. Please, all being in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. We have an assignment, and we got to do our assignment. Another life lesson from chapter 26. And it says, we cried out to the, and this is verse 7. We cried out to the Lord God, and the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction. Deuteronomy 26 and 7. It is good to remember and to declare to others how the Lord has rescued us in times past. These remembrances strengthen our faith and give us the courage to endure in difficult times. I know in my heart that whatever you're going through, God will not bring you to it unless he's going to bring you through it. Hallelujah. I thank God this morning for the hardship, even for the things that are going on. And I'm like, Lord, how am I going to get through this? God said with me. So whenever you think you can't make it through, just say, Lord, I'm going to get through this. And he will tell you with me. You just got to trust him. You got to believe that you will get through whatever the situation is with him. Deuteronomy 26 and 11. You shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house. That's the life lesson from Dr. Stanley. Dr. Stanley says, why is it so important to rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given you? Rejoicing in God is a powerful way to draw close to him, which is the very reason he created us. Hallelujah. I am about to shout this morning because this is a awesome cement word. And we are coming out of Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 26. And I like this word because this is a word that we also have in Matthew, and it is the Beatitudes. But I like it because we all hear things differently. I may hear something one way, and you may hear it a different way. It's the same message, but it is done in a different way. So we're going to kind of do a little comparison here between Matthew and Luke when we get to the Beatitudes. And this is what the Word of God says in Luke chapter 6, verse 1. Now it happened on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the grain fields, and his disciples plucked the heads of grain and ate them, rubbing them in their hands. And some of the Pharisees said to them, why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath? But Jesus answering them said, have you not even read this, what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he went into the house of God, took and ate the showbread, and also gave some to those with him, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he said to them, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. How it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man who had the withered hand, arise and stand here. And he arose and stood. Then Jesus said to them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy? And when he had looked around at them all, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. But they were filled with rage and disgust with one another what they might do to Jesus. Again, it seems so evil. Why are you angry that somebody did a good thing, even if it is on the Sabbath day? Aren't we supposed to be good to each other? Aren't we supposed to treat our neighbor as we would treat ourselves? But they were angry anyway. Hardened hearts. Hardened hearts. They'd rather that man walk around with a withered hand than for Jesus to have healed him because of man-made stuff. Because Jesus, by healing that man, was honoring God on the Sabbath. He was honoring God by doing good. We honor God by doing good. Verse number 12 of chapter 6 of the book of Luke. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Again, Jesus prayed. We got to pray too. You got to push every day. Push, push and push some more. Pray until something happens in your life. You got to pray. And you got to be quiet sometimes just so God can answer you and not the sneaky snake. And the word of God continues in verse 13. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Jesus, he had more than 12 disciples. I want to say that. Jesus had more than 12 disciples. There were many disciples, but only a few were chosen. And our title for this today, many are called to be disciples, but only a few are chosen to be apostles. Only a few are chosen to be apostles. All of us are not chosen to be apostles. All of us are not church builders. All of us are not church leaders. All of us are not the ones that God has called to build his kingdom. We are here to go to work and have assignments. Everybody's not assigned to be an apostle. Everybody's not assigned to be a minister or a pastor or an evangelist. Everybody has different assignments. Many disciples, only 12 were called to be disciples and apostles. And Jesus called these to be apostles, Simon, whom he also named Andrew, his brother, James and John. And we know they the sons of Zebedee. And also Aces with Jesus, Philip and Bartholomew. And folks, forget Bartholomew. We all know Peter, James, and John, and we know Andrew, and we know Judas Iscariot. But we got to look at the rest of them. Matthew and Thomas. I'm going to go back over all of them again. First, Simon, whom he also named Peter. Simon Peter. Andrew, his brother. James and John. Philip and Bartholomew. Matthew and Thomas. James, the son of Alphaeus. Simon, called the Zealot. So there's Simon Peter, and then there's Simon the Zealot. Judas, the son of James. And Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor. It's in the word. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from Judea, Jerusalem, and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits. And they were healed, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out of him and healed them all. Remember, when the woman with the issue of blood touched him, he felt it because power went out of him, and he knew somebody had touched him. And then it goes on to say, then he lifted up his eyes toward his disciples and said, blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Wow, that's a rough word. Now let's go over to Matthew and read that word. And we're going to go over to Matthew chapter 5. And it says in Matthew, and seeing the multitude, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, kingdom of heaven. Whereas in Luke, it just says, blessed are you poor, and not the spirit part. Like I said, everybody hears things differently. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now that is the same. And again, not in the same order in Luke as it is in Matthew. And then it goes on to tell us, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And see, in Luke, it says in verse 21, blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. But it doesn't give the whole thing. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And then it goes on to say in Matthew, are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And he said, and it says, rejoice in the day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. And so it's different, and we got to remember that. So you may hear somebody with the Beatitudes coming out of Luke, which is different, and you're like, that's not right. Actually, it is right. It was heard differently. Whoever gave it to Luke didn't hear it the same way as Matthew. And then he goes on to tell us, blessed are you when they revile and persecute and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. And it says here, blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Same thing. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And understand the difference. I want to make sure that I give the difference. In Matthew, Jesus said this. In Luke, it's someone repeating what they heard or what they thought they heard. So remember those two things. The difference is, because when you go to this word in Matthew, we call it the red letter word in our Bible. It's all in red. Because they came directly from Jesus. And when we go into Luke, it's also a red letter word. But understand, it said, this is what, and he lifted up his eyes, and this is what someone heard Jesus say. Said a little bit differently. You just got to listen. Again, red letters in both sections, but Matthew is just a little bit more eloquent. When you read Matthew, it's like you feel it. When you read Luke, you feel it too, but understanding that is just different. And let's go to a life question, and then we are done this morning. If there is anyone that has a word from God that would like to speak, the word, the number to call is 213-943-3597. Again, 213-943-3597. And it says in a life lesson from life question from Dr. Sloan, why do I sometimes fail to hear God when he speaks? We were just talking about that. Jeremiah repeatedly reminded his people that while God had been speaking to them, they did not hear. I spoke to you in your prosperity, the Lord declared through the prophet. But you said, I will not hear. This has been your manner from your youth, that you did not obey my voice. Jeremiah 22:21. We often have the same problems. The Lord may be speaking to us, but we don't hear him. Why do so many of us fail to hear what God is saying? One significant obstacle is that we often consider the act of listening to be a passive experience. We assume we can simply sit and absorb what is being said. Good listening, however, is an active endeavor involving both attitude and action. We will have difficulty listening if we come to God with uncertainty, doubting that he is going to speak. Instead, we are to approach God confidently and expectantly, anticipating that he will communicate with us. Such an attitude expresses our faith and demonstrates that we believe his promises. Psalms 46:10 instructs us, be still and know that I am God. Again, Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. To hear God, we must come quietly to him and allow him to do the talking. While there is nothing wrong with keeping a prayer list, a devotional time ought to include more than just a litany of requests. We should take time to hear what God says to us. We must approach the Lord with an attitude of patience. Psalms 40 and 1. While none of us enjoys waiting, God will not tell us everything at once. Sometimes he withholds information until we are prepared to listen. We must also listen actively. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. In other words, the truth of God's word abundantly overflowing us. That happens when we read and meditate on scripture. Hallelujah. That's what we are doing. We're reading and meditating on the scripture. We got to keep it real. We got to keep it in our heart. Every day when we read a scripture, we got to find a word that touches our spirit. And this is what it says. So listen humbly and submissively. We depend absolutely upon the Holy Spirit to reveal God's truth to us. And if you want to go to John 14:26, that is where that scripture is. Apart from the work of the Spirit, we are helpless to hear from God, whether he speaks through scripture, circumstances, prayer, or other people, only the Spirit and to hear. Holy Spirit, ignite in us. Remember, Jesus spent all night in prayer immediately before he chose the 12 disciples who would accompany him everywhere. He didn't just say, I'm going to choose sister such and such. He prayed about it. He prayed about it all night. Luke 6:12 tells us he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Jesus wanted the counsel of his Father on all major decisions, and so should we. If we want to hear from God, Christ's example, we must be willing to pray with faith, patience, expectancy, and humility. So when God speaks to you, listen attentively and prepare to submit to whatever he tells you. Obedience pleases your heavenly Father, and he desires to bless you for listening well. And that is our word this morning. Thank you for listening in. Thank you for joining me this morning. Thank you for being a part of this moving forward experience. And before we go, as always, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And this is from Carolyn's gift this morning. Good morning. Stress comes from trying to do it all on your own. Oops. She's speaking to me. Peace comes from putting it all in God's hands. Have a thankful Thursday. Again, all up in our word this morning in a way that just brings it all together. Trying to do it all, family. On your own. Peace comes from putting it all in God's hands. Have a thankful Thursday. And if there, again, anyone that needs to speak or has a word from God, push the number 1. If not, we are about to wrap it up because why? As we say on this blog, on this show, it is time to go to work. Who do we work for? We work for God. Good morning, good evening, good night, family. I love you all. Have a blessed and wonderful day. For today is the day that our precious and holy God has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, as we all know, this is a day that we should thank God for his son. We should know that Jesus went to Calvary for me, for you, for all of us. He did not have to die, but he chose to come into this wicked, wicked world for us. Never forget the sacrifice of the Savior. for you, for me, for us. Jesus died for us. The nails went into his hands for us. The spear into his side for us. Buried in the tomb for 3 days and three nights for us. When we go to our services over this weekend, when we go into the house of God on the first day of the week, which we call Easter, never forget that he rose from the grave with all power in his hand, and that he sits on the right hand of our Father God, interceding every day, every moment, every hour, every minute for you and for me. Jesus died on Calvary for us. But he rose again also for us. Thank God for the sacrifice of his son. Never forget. Never forget that some of us will be disciples and others will be apostles. Have a blessed day, family. I love you all. I thank God for you. We have just a few seconds to go, and I just want you to know, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In the precious and holy and matchless name of our Savior, Christ Jesus, let us never forget his sacrifice for us. Have a blessed day, family. Enjoy your holy weekend. Join me tomorrow on Good Friday as we have a word from God. And we have work to do. Go to work as I go to work. I love you all. Be blessed. It is a wrap. That's why I gotta go to work. I love y'all. Be blessed. It's a wrap.